a boomerang. It bounced back, slamming into me, adding to the turmoil that sieged every cell in my body. Hands shaking, I fumbled into my purse and pulled out my phone, barely able to make the call. Sammy answered on the first ring.
"Are you okay?"
I could hardly speak.
"No, I'm not okay."
"Where are you?"
"At the back of Olives,"
I begged through another cry.
"Stay right there. I'll be there to get you in 5 minutes."
"Okay." I ended the call and hugged my arms across my chest, tears streaking free. There was no way to stop them. Solid ground had finally been ripped from beneath our feet. My heart shattered, pieces scattered. Verification that we'd lost Sydney in this horrible, horrible way crumbled the last of our foundation. I guessed it had been flimsy and unstable anyway. But now it was Ollie who was lost beneath the rubble, unable to see his way out of it, unable to see past what he thought was a failure. And he'd broken my heart all over again while mine broke for him. I wanted to hold him and make promises I couldn't keep, that one day it wouldn't hurt so bad. But I knew that would only be a lie. Headlights cut into the back alley road, and Sammy's car came to a stop in front of me. The front passenger door flew open, and Sammy jumped out, her husband Lyle in the driver's seat. I collapsed in her arms and wept.
"I've got you, Nikki. It's going to be okay."
I nodded against her, even though I couldn't bring myself to believe it was true. Finally, I pried myself away and climbed into the back seat with Penelope, took the little girl's hand, clinging to the comfort she brought. Looking at her had always made me feel as if the world could be a better place. I just wished I could still believe that as the truth. They swung by where I'd left my car outside the building, and Lyle took my keys and said he'd meet us back at the house, doing what he could to lighten some of the load. As if I'd give my car a second thought. But he'd always been a doer, and I understood the feeling of being helpless, desperate to find something to do. Sammy moved into the driver's seat. I stayed stagnant in the back seat, silent tears running down my face. They didn't stop or slow when we went inside. Choked sobs erupted at unexpected times, as if the sorrow would bottle and pressurize and then burst to do it all over again. Sammy made me a spot on a couch to sleep, and I hugged the blankets around my body as if it might offer comfort.
"Do you want me to sit with you?"
Sammy finally asked, fidgeting, her house quiet in the dark hours of the night.
"No, you go on to bed and get some rest. There's nothing you can do."
I needed to be alone, to process, to grieve. She wavered as if she was going to stay anyway.
"I want to be here for you too,"
she whispered as if she were trying to cross a bridge. My eyes blinked open to her, bleary and blurry, burning from the tears. Something passed through her expression.
"I know that. Thank you."
She nodded quickly and then ducked her head down the hall, shutting off the last light and casting the entire house in a dreary darkness. I didn't toss. I just laid there, frozen in the silence, tied by sorrow, cutting, blinding grief. I'd felt as if I'd lost both of them all over again, as if I was taken back to the day when my world went dim, because Ollie, he'd always been my great big world. Finally, I drifted on it, exhaustion taking hold of my consciousness. Horrible dreams just raced in to take its place. My eyes popped open, a fresh sob on my breath, night still all around me. Disoriented, I blinked through it. I jerked my head when I felt the presence at my side.
"Sammy,"
I gasped, my eyes going wide when I found my sister sitting on the floor next to me, her knees tucked to her chest as she rocked. Even in the darkness, I could see the shimmer of tears that stained her cheeks.
"What's wrong?"
I whispered fiercely, shooting up to sitting, the worry for her chasing away the weight that wanted to pin me down.
"What happened?"
Shivers of pain radiated from her.
"I went to that meeting last night, thinking I was going to be able to talk to you."
Oh, God. My heart raced, banged at my ribs.
"And I'm so sorry this is coming now. When you're going through so much, I just don't think I can keep it inside anymore. Everything feels wrong."
I knew this was her way of opening a door, breaching a divide, inviting me inside. I wanted to be there, for her. Even though I was terrified I might not be strong enough to handle anything else, if my emotions might get the better of me. I'm always here for you, Sammy. No matter what is happening in my life, I will always be here for you.
I know that, she mumbled,
hugging her knees tighter, her attention darting all over the living room as if she was searching for ghosts among the shadows. Finally, she turned her tortured gaze back on me, the words forced from her mouth.
He's back.
Confused, I sat forward more as I tried to decipher what she was trying to say.
Who?
She swiped the back of her hand under her nose.
Uncle Todd.
What? The name rocked me back. Shocked, stunned, horrified by the look on Sammy's face. Sickness turned in my guts, and I was sure I was going to throw up. She blinked a bunch of times, as if she were seeing things she didn't want to see.
I thought I was okay, Nikki. For all these years, I convinced myself it was okay because he was gone. All my prayers had been answered because he'd just moved, was gone. So I shoved it down and pretended like it didn't exist. And then he came back to help Grandma, and it was all right back there again.
Dread. It chained and bound. Everything felt too heavy. Crushing. I tried to breathe around it, to convince my heart it was okay to still beat. I needed to be strong for my sister. She needed me. She needed me, and I needed to be there for her. What exactly are you saying? I tried to keep the question soft, frame it like I would to anyone who came to me for help. But it felt impossible when my baby sister was the one sitting there looking at me.
Didn't you think Uncle Todd was a creep?
She almost begged, leading me, trying to get me to a point without her having to say it. I swallowed hard, my mind reeling through a million memories. Had I missed it? Because it hit me. The way he'd been too attentive, too interested in what we were doing, always asking me questions, where I was going and who I was with. But at the time, it had barely blipped on my radar.
He was odd.
More tears streaked from her eyes, soaking her face.
He wasn't odd, Nikki. He was a monster.
Horror locked up my throat, and my hands went to my chest as if it might shield me from her words.
He was a creep and a monster, Nikki. Of the worst kind. A vile, disgusting creep who stole my childhood, my innocence. He made me believe I could never trust a man until Lyle came into my life, and I just have this sick feeling.
Her grief spun through the room, hanging on the dense air, clinging to the walls. I swore I could feel it crawling across the floor and climbing into me. My spirit shook, so heavy I could feel the weight of it sagging in the middle of me. Regret and confusion and anger. Who knew hate could be such an instant thing? But I did. I hated him. Hated that he could hurt my sister.
Sammy.
Tears flooded down my face.
I'm so sorry, I didn't know.
She swiped at the wetness on her face and released a brittle, frustrated sound.
How could you know when I kept it a secret? It was my darkest secret, Nikki, because I couldn't stand the thought of someone knowing, of someone knowing what he'd done to me.
My eyes squeezed, and I forced out the words, praying she hadn't gone through this alone her whole life. But Lyle knows? She barely nodded.
He knows what happened to me. He doesn't know who. He thinks it was a stranger. I didn't know how to tell him if I didn't want my family to know. God knows what he'd do.
Oh, that made two of us. Fury bristled through my being, and I thought maybe I could relate to the things Ollie had said, to the way he'd wanted to hunt down whoever had hurt his sister. The overwhelming need to make something right when you had absolutely no control over it. But at least in this circumstance, we could still do something. Sammy suddenly gasped for a breath.
I didn't want to burden you with this when you are dealing with so much, but I couldn't keep it in any longer. Not with him out there. Not with my baby girl in her room. Not with other little girls out there. Not after all these years of hiding it.
A shadow of grief clouded her face.
What if he's hurt someone else? What if I never told anyone and he did it to someone else? I'm responsible for that.
Dropping onto my knees on the carpeted floor, I inched her direction, took her by both of the wrists, and lifted her arms in between us. They'd been hanging so helplessly at her sides. I needed her to know she wasn't weak, that she had strength. No, you can't blame yourself. You were just a little girl. Conflict pinched her face.
It was still happening when I was 15.
Her voice clogged with a ragged cry.
15, Nikki,
she begged, as if it changed things, and she was all of a sudden somehow responsible. But that's what predators did. They made their victims believe they were somehow to blame, that they should be the ones ashamed, manipulating and filling them with fear. A panicked disgust clotted in my chest, and I was sure my heart was no longer working.
It's not your fault. It's his. But...
My voice shifted to a quiet plea, praying my sister would find comfort in me, that she would understand she no longer had to be afraid.
We have to report this to the police, Sammy. We can't let him get away with this. I know.
The words cracked, and a cry ripped from her throat. It was born of desperation, of grief and sorrow and shame. She began to ramble.
You have to give me a little time. I've been trying so hard to get to the point where I could tell you, and I trust you more than anyone.
She squeezed her eyes shut and struggled for a breath.
They're going to ask for details, Nikki. I know they are, and I don't think I'm ready yet.
I squeezed her hand. How long was it going on? She dropped her attention to the floor, shuddering, her chest heaving with her breaths.
He always made me uncomfortable. The way he used to look at me, the way he'd brush against me. I was 12 the first time he took me to one of those abandoned buildings by the river.
Shock blew me back, and the air sucked into my vacant lungs. A cloying type of awareness shook through me.
What did you say?
She blinked.
The buildings, down on Row.
Tremors rocked through me, full body, jolting.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
I couldn't breathe. No. No. It couldn't be. I was making assumptions, anxiety and fear getting out ahead of me. Dizziness swooped down, making my mind tilt and the room can't. I tried to get to my feet, but the weakness that had taken hold of my knees nearly dropped me back to the ground. My hand darted out to the couch as I forced myself to stand. Nausea churned, twisting my stomach in painful knots. I tried to swallow around the bile I could feel crawling up my throat.
Oh, God,
I whispered again, looking around as if I were searching for an answer when there wasn't one there. Sammy pushed to standing, her hand on my arm, worry moving all over her face.
What if it was him?
My eyes shifted to her. I knew they poured with sorrow, with speculation, the same as hers. It hit me like a freight train. What she'd been implying all along. Why she felt compelled to tell me now. I stumbled back, hand scrubbing over my face in hopes that it might break up the confusion.
I need to go. I need to think.
I stumbled back into the kitchen and grappled for my purse, which I'd left on the little breakfast nook table last night. I jerked open the door. A tease of daylight danced on the horizon, cool morning air splashing my face. It didn't matter. I felt sticky. Clammy. I stumbled down the two steps, unable to move any further when I lurched forward and puked in the shrubs, my spirit revolting, purging the instinct that had kicked up at the back of my mind. Sammy was behind me.
Nikki, what are you going to do?
I need to think, figure this out. I didn't even want to contemplate it, didn't want it to be true.
He was a monster.
Sammy's confession whipped through my spirit.
Where are you going?
She begged, clinging to the railing on the steps.
I don't know. I need to go.
I had to make sense of this before I made accusations I couldn't take back, even though my gut screamed they were real.
Please don't do something stupid.
I ran to her and pulled her into my arms, squeezing her so tight I could feel her heart battering against mine.
I'm so sorry, my sweet sister.
Then I turned and rushed away.
Chapter 34. Ollie. Footsteps pounded on the damp earth, desperate, frantic. Trees rose on all sides, sentries and witnesses, and branches tore into my skin as I ran through the oppressive night, searching. My eyes blurred in the darkness, muddied by despair, I stumbled through the forest, gnarled roots twisted like spindly fingers that had clawed out of hell to hold me back. Tears burned my cheeks as the wind blasted my face. Cruel, like the laughter I swore I heard before it was swallowed by a gust of air. I screamed in the middle of it, "Sydney!" Voice hoarse, throat bleeding with the pain, "Sydney!" Sydney, Sydney, Sydney. I dropped to my knees. Sydney. I roared, trying to break free of the sheets that were twisted around me like ropes and chains. Sweat slicked my skin, and my heart was busting right through the confines of my ribs. Panted cries clawed at my raw throat. Panic and desperation. I kicked off the sheets and sat up on the edge of my bed. I blinked through the dusky shadows that leapt through my room, trying to ignore what had pulled me from sleep. Banging. A constant pound, pound, pound at my front door. The room spun like a bitch, that bottle I'd drained sitting in my stomach like a lethal dose of poison. Or maybe it was just the poison of what I'd done. Sydney. Sydney. I could still hear my screams echoing back from the forest. I'd hunted for days, which had turned to weeks, months, years. Listening and waiting, and for all these years the tiniest spark of hope had remained. The hope that she was out there somewhere, safe and happy but trying to get home. A fool's dream, a dream that had kept me going, moving, breathing. Pain attacked me from all sides, knives stabbing deep, driving all the way through. Piercing. Cutting. My guts spilled out onto the floor. I'd wanted to be a better man. Fuck, I'd wanted to be a better man. "All I want is for you to love me." Nikki's voice danced through the void of my room, taunting, coaxing, prodding. Little tease. Little tease. I wanted to cling to it, hold it, cherish it, but it hurt too bad. More pounding echoed from the front door. "Go away," I shouted, knowing there wasn't a chance in hell they could hear me from my room. Whoever it was just kept on, becoming more and more demanding, harder and harsher with each boom. Someone wanted to get their ass kicked. Scrubbing a palm down my face, I glanced at the clock. 4 in the afternoon. Fuck. I should have gotten up, gone to the station, demanded answers, hunted more. Hopelessness wrapped around me. Chained to bricks and stones that dragged me down into the blackest abyss. What the fuck good would it do? I had nothing left to find, nothing left to give. I hadn't checked in downstairs, had no clue if the shifts were manned, if the bar was running smoothly or if everything had gone to hell. Thing was, that bar could burn to the ground with me in it, and I wouldn't even blink. Because I was already in hell. A brutal, unrelenting hell. Another round of pounding. I did my best to keep the rush of fury in check, but my blood was already boiling. At myself, at the world, at whoever had done this to my sister. Pain clutched my stomach when I let the idea slink into my mind. Swore that it physically shredded my insides. Still couldn't process it. Didn't want to. Couldn't stop it. It was the only thing I could see. Blood. Dirt. Bones. A cry raked from my lungs, more pounding. I staggered out that way, careening across the floor, ready to tear into any poor fucker who was waiting on the other side. I peered through the peephole. Rex. Motherfucker. That was a whole new layer I couldn't process, couldn't stomach. A fresh round of hatred went skating through my veins, boiling over. "Not sure you want me to let you in here." "Need to talk to you," rumbled through the wood. Not exactly up for chit-chat, because what the fuck was he going to say? "Not going anywhere until you open this door, so you might as well open up." "Then you're going to be there all night." "God damn it, Ollie, this isn't a fucking game. Open the door, I need to talk to you." Rage had me twisting the lock and flinging the door open. "You got something to say?" Bitterness bled out, hurt right behind it. Rex stood in my doorway, dark bags under his eyes, hair a complete mess, like he hadn't slept for a second last night, ridden with guilt. Good. Warily, he glanced up at me. Deserve for you to hate me, Ollie. I should have told you a long time ago. Sharp laughter bounced from the walls. You should have told me? Told me what? That you were fucking my little sister? That the two of you had something going on that night? That you knew where she went? I moved to get in his face, words flying, razors on my tongue. Is that what you've got to tell me? He shoved me. It was enough to knock me back a foot. He jabbed his finger against my chest. You want to blame me, Ollie? Blame me. Fine. If you think I haven't been blaming myself for all these years, you're a fool. My teeth ground as I got back in his face. Yeah, you made me a fool. Keeping this from me? Are you kidding me, Rex? You were supposed to be my best friend. I trusted you with her, and you were the one I should have been protecting her from. Rex stalked deeper into my loft, hands ripping at his hair, growls coming from him like he was the one who was about to lose all control instead of me. He whirled back around. I fucking loved her, okay? He gasped, like saying it was met with gutting relief. I loved her, and you made it plenty clear that I couldn't, that any guy who even looked at your sister was getting his ass kicked. Tell me how the fuck we could contend with that. His face contorted in anger, in rage and grief. So we snuck around, kept it a secret so we wouldn't hurt you, because your sister didn't want you to be angry with her, didn't want you to be angry with me. She was keeping the peace the exact same way as you did with Nikki. I jarred back. He scoffed. Don't act like we didn't know. All this time and you think we didn't know? That she didn't know? Shock beat through my blood. Sydney knew? Rex huffed a breath. Of course she knew. She was pissed you wouldn't tell her. That you thought you had to keep her out. That you wouldn't let her in. More regret. Could I shoulder any more of it? I didn't fucking know how. I could feel it piling on me. Rubble and rocks and debris. A fucking bomb. It had destroyed any semblance of peace. Old grief curled through Rex's hard expression, something sour seeping through. And I was too big of a pussy to stand up and say something. I should have said something. Instead, I... His words broke off, and Rex gave a harsh shake of his head. Heartbreak. I knew exactly what it looked like. It clutched and clung and tortured, slamming him from all sides. If I'd have just stood up that day and made a claim, Ollie. He choked, trying to bite back a sob, like it had come from out of nowhere. Balled up grief that had simmered for too many years. His eyes filled with moisture and my heart was beating out of my fucking chest. Regret, confusion, sympathy. For a beat, I covered my face with both my hands. What the fuck was I supposed to think? What was I supposed to feel? Because right then I was feeling too damn much. Rex stood up straight, stretching his arms out wide. It was my fault. Be pissed off at me, man. Hate me, blame me, because it was my fault. She was there that night because that was where I was gonna be. She was pissed because of me. She left because of me. With every line of confession, he hit his fist against his chest, harder each time. Because I kissed that chick, because that was what I thought you expected me to do. You were right that night. I was a pussy. I was a pussy because I didn't have the guts to tell my best friend I loved his sister. He slammed his fist against his heart again. My fault. It was a rasped cry that boomed against my walls. I blinked at him, trying to see through the daze, to process and add and make sense of what he was saying. His mouth twisted in agony. We loved each other. We did. Just like you loved Nikki, and you're a fucking fool if you think that it was any different. He sucked in a choppy breath. We're all responsible, all of us, a bunch of stupid, ignorant kids who didn't know any better. We made mistakes, mistakes we didn't have any clue would lead to what they did. My back hit the wall, and I was searching for air, lungs squeezed tight. Regret shook Rex's head. The next morning, when we found out she hadn't made it home... He stumbled like he couldn't handle the memory, his voice hoarse and raw when he finally spoke. I wanted to die, I wanted to curl up and die, Ollie. Hurt blistered through me. His, mine. My body rocked. I didn't know how to stand under it. Rex, I attempted, needing to shut him down, because I wasn't sure how much more of this I could take. Torment rushed from him on a torrent. The guy beaten up and mangled, in a way I'd never seen him before. Like maybe there was a chance he felt an ounce of what I was feeling right then. He held his hand out like he was the one stopping me. Just fucking listen, man. I've kept this in for so long. For so long, and I can't bear it anymore. A harsh breath wheezed into his lungs. I didn't say anything because I didn't know how to admit it. I didn't know how to tell you I was the one to blame. I was fucking terrified and heartbroken, and all I wanted was for it to end. An exact echo of me. Rex took another step back my direction. We fucked up. We fucked up so bad, but I see it clearly now. I get it in a way I couldn't then. Those mistakes weren't malicious. They weren't cruel or intended to hurt. They were mistakes we made as we tried to figure out who we were. His brow twisted in emphasis. Figure out how to live and who we were supposed to be. How we'd all fit, because every single one of us knew things had changed. No longer kids, but not grown either. All of us were fumbling through. His entire face pinched, agony and grief. Lifting an arm, he drove his finger toward the door as he chucked the words. But there is someone out there who is cruel, someone who is malicious, someone out there who did this to her, someone who hurt her. He's the one to blame, Ollie. Stumbling back, he bent in two, his hands on his knees, as he tried to catch his breath like he'd just been struck in the stomach with a bat. He did this. Not you. Not me. I could barely form the words, the weight of them so heavy on my tongue. We sent her out into the night? By herself? I know. He angled his face up to look at me. I know. I've carried that for so many years, just like you. And God, it hurts so bad, thinking about what she might have gone through. But I knew, Sydney, and so did you. He seemed to have to force himself to straighten. And I know you know she wouldn't want this. You know she'd want you to live, to experience and to love and to take this life for all it's worth. My hands curled into fists, my mind and my heart and my spirit at war. For a minute, we got lost in it, both of us trying to catch up, before Rex took a step forward, his head angling as he started to speak. Rinna, my family, they are that life. I didn't think I could love again after Sydney. It took me so many years of hating myself, thinking I deserved to be alone, that I didn't get to find joy because of it. Thinking I deserved to suffer. Tremors raked down my spine, his words like claws sinking in my skin. I know better now. I know that's not what Sydney would have wanted. I got that chance to live, Ollie. I was given it, and I'm not going to reject that gift. I won't waste it. I love Rinna with all of me, wholly. I was the fool who thought I didn't have anything left to give when really I had everything. Right there. Waiting for me. Emotion curled and crushed. Overwhelming. Too much. He shifted away, his hands on his hips, speaking the words toward the wall. Don't waste your life blaming yourself, Ollie. I've stood aside and watched you in misery for too long. I was a fucking coward who couldn't tell you the truth because I was afraid you'd hate me. I'd convinced myself it'd only hurt you more, knowing about us. But I know better now. He looked back at me. It's time for us to both stop making those mistakes. It's time for us to live, to embrace life the way Sydney would have wanted us to. Don't waste that. Don't waste what you and Nikki have. I haven't seen you happy in so goddamn long. And these last weeks, that's what you've been. Happy. Could feel my heart clattering in my chest. My voice shook. I don't know how to do that. How to live knowing she didn't. I've spent my whole life searching for her. I don't know how to accept that she's... gone. Saying it was a blade, cutting deep, tears blurred my eyes. Sydney was gone. He looked back at me, his mouth wobbling with the truth. You remember who she was? Fly, fly, dragonfly. We both jerked when the door leading to the outside stairs banged open. I moved to peer out into the hall. I had to blink to clear my eyes, my spirit soaring at the sight before I realized it wasn't Nikki. It was Sammy. Wringing her fingers nervously, attention darting all over the place like she thought she was doing something wrong. "Sammy," I said, stepping out into the hall, "what are you doing here?" She gulped and tentatively looked up at me. "I'm worried about Nikki. She left early this morning and I can't get in touch with her. I was hoping she was here." It was instant, the worry that blasted through me. "She's not here. I haven't talked to her. What do you mean she left early?" Sammy's face fell. "I think she's in trouble." Felt the world crashing down on me when Sammy nervously told me her suspicion of her uncle, and I grabbed my keys, rushing for the door. Rex told me to go, promising that he would get Sammy home safely. No one needed to be alone until we were sure. Sammy didn't want to speculate. Terrified, she was pointing a finger that shouldn't be pointed. But my guts screamed, my spirit sure. I didn't wait for the elevator. I took the 3 flights of stairs faster than I ever had, busting into the garage after I'd punched in the code. Dread leached through every inch of me when my sight landed on my turquoise truck. The windshield was smashed in. Fury rumbled like a storm, coming closer and closer. My garage was a fucking fortress, a place not a soul who wasn't welcome should be able to get into. I inched forward. Fear leached into my flesh when I reached out and plucked the tiny folded note out from under the wiper. Heart in my throat, I unfolded it, horror eating me up when I found what was written inside. "She can't hide. She's always been mine."
Chapter 35. Nikki. It was funny how different it felt being out there alone. When there were no voices to cloud the calm beauty of the scene spread out like a painting in front of me. The gurgle of the streams and the rush of the water as it gathered strength, rolling over the side of the jagged cliffs and tumbling to the lake far, far below. I needed it. Peace. For hours I'd driven in search of an answer, and I'd ended up here, seeking a place to process what had become a muddled, chaotic disaster inside me. One made of sorrow and hurt, and an onslaught of overwhelmingly devastating questions. I lifted my face to the blazing sun that pounded from above, falling through the Alabama sky that was the purest blue. The sweeping stretch of beauty laid out below was almost a mirror, the blue expanse of lake and the twist of the river that wound around the mountain in the distance. My spirit throbbed and pulsed, and the prayer silently spilled out into the vast expanse of land below. "Sydney, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry this happened to you. I hate it. I wish I could go back to that day and change it. Take it back. Let you know that we loved you. So much. It was the fear of it that had held our tongues. We'd never, ever wanted to sever those bonds." Yet those bonds had been severed in the worst, worst way. And my sister. Hugging my knees to my chest, I rocked where I sat on a dry patch on a smooth stone that had been carved out by the flow of the waters. Sadness cut through the center of me. I had no idea how to piece it together. If I was attempting to draw lines that didn't connect, or if I was just praying that they didn't. A gentle breeze rippled through, swishing through the tops of the trees. I hugged my knees tighter. I swore I could feel her brushing across me, a whisper in my ear. "Fly, fly, dragonfly." A wistful smile tugged at one side of my mouth, and I let my eyes drop closed and relished in her memory. In her hope and her beauty and the way she had looked at life. I was almost too lost in the moment to hear the movement behind me. It took me a second before I froze just as the hairs at the nape of my neck prickled in awareness, standing on end. "They'll be coming for me soon." The voice swallowed me from behind, low and menacing. Disgust swam with the fear, lighting my nerves and jumping into my veins. Todd, he was there. And I suddenly got the sensation of something I should have known all along. The way he'd watched, the comments he'd made. Always right there, gaze directed at me in ways it shouldn't have been. Tremors rolled, and I tried to hold them back when I slowly pushed to standing and cautiously swiveled around to face him. He stood at the edge of the woods that grew up the side of the mountain behind him. The same mountain where I'd played as a child. Ran and laughed and believed. "Uncle Todd!" I attempted to send him a surprised, welcoming smile, as if this was all one big coincidence, when all I wanted to do was throw up again. This was the man who'd hurt my sister, inflicted a kind of pain I couldn't comprehend. My mind flipped back through everything that had happened over the last few months. My apartment getting broken into, my grandma's box stolen, the notes on my windshield, Caleb shouting at Ollie that he had no clue what he had been talking about. It wasn't until that second I realized he hadn't been lying. It wasn't Caleb who had done all those things. Todd cracked a smile that sent a cold chill skating over me.
Well, if it isn't Nicky Lou.
I tried to smile again. All I managed was a grimace with the way he was looking at me. What are you doing all the way out here? I asked, going for coy. As if I were clueless. A naive little girl. That's what he'd always wanted, right?
Looking for you.
My knees knocked. Oh, God. I had to stay strong. I frowned at him in an innocuous way. Well, you could have just called. I would have been happy to come out to Grandma's for a visit.
Think we both know it's too late for that.
My mouth went dry. I don't know what you're talking about. It was a lie. I knew it would be so much better to play dumb with a desperate man. He laughed, biting and hard.
Come now, Nicky. You think I don't recognize it in your eyes? You think I don't see the way you're looking at me?
So badly, I wanted to refute it, to stand my ground, to continue to pretend. But the denial of his claim won out.
You don't know anything about me.
An ominous chuckle rode on the dense, dense air.
I know everything about you, Nicky.
My blood froze. My heart stuttered. I tried to remain steady, to draw out time, studying the best way to beat him. Fight or flight. I still wasn't sure. All I knew was I wouldn't let him win. His nose curled in some kind of unknown disgust.
I should have known better than to trust someone to do what they're told. Should have known that punk kid would get greedy and not follow directions.
Confusion had me shaking my head. I honestly have no idea what you're talking about. It was true. He was talking in circles, unbalanced. I guessed I'd just missed out on the fact he was deranged. He made a low sound, disbelief and outrage.
He was supposed to dump that old car. Should have done it myself, but I figured the farther away I kept myself from it, the better. Hell, should have done it all those years ago, but figured I'd better get gone.
A disorder shifted through the breeze, branches lashing as if they felt the tumult. He took a step forward, coming out of the shade of the trees and into the light. Depraved darkness standing in the rays. Brown hair greasy and unkempt, the same way as it had always been. Clothes a little ratty. Those few extra pounds prominent around his middle. None of those things mattered. It was the evil in his eyes that made him ugly.
Never imagined that tweaker would run straight to that asshole who was always watching you like he thought you belonged to him.
Uncertainty moved through me, a niggle at the back of my mind that was quickly adding up. He was talking about the Bel Air. Ollie had bought the Bel Air.
You know Caleb? I asked.
Keep him talking. Keep him talking.
Of course I know who Caleb is, considering you do. Wasn't sure if I should run out and protect you from him that night a couple months back, when I followed you to his and that girl's apartment. Had to stay back when the cops showed up a few minutes later.
Dread spiraled. He'd been following me all this time. Since the first time Brenna had called me for help.
About a week later, I found him downtown, all itchy and antsy. And I knew it wouldn't take all that much to convince him to haul it away.
Todd smiled as if his thought process was genius.
He was supposed to dump it in the river or the lake. Should have known, even with all the rust, he'd be seeing dollar signs. Didn't want to get close to it, touch it, dirty it up more.
Dirty?
Fear blazed, so hot I could feel the bead of sweat slide down my spine. I took a step back, trying to keep as much distance between us as possible.
What do you mean by that?
His voice was nonchalant.
I was watching. Figured it wasn't such a bad thing when they were going to take it into that garage and fix her up. That might even be better than dumping it in the lake. But the second I saw that pig show up and the police take it away, I knew I had to speed things up, that you and I didn't have that much more time.
He was moving closer, rounding to the side. For every step of his, I took one in the opposite direction. "And my apartment?" I asked, hating that I had to, but knowing my only chance of getting away from him was understanding his depravity.
"Sorry about that, but I had to get that box. Put some stuff in there for safekeeping before I left. When I heard my ma was starting to sell stuff off, that she was failing, I knew it was time I came back. Been planning it for a while, needing to get back to you. It was a sign when your mama told me on the phone she'd been clearing out the attic. That was my collection, you know."
Nausea surged, and my heart hurt. God only knew what was in that box.
"Didn't help matters that you had to go and run those classes for women in that basement. Bunch of hands cackling and gossiping and saying things they have no business saying. Your head all filled up with that nonsense."
"How do you know that?" I shouldn't have said anything, shouldn't have bitten, but the scraping words pulled free of my throat. His chuckle could have been construed as affectionate, soft and warm, if it hadn't skated through me like ice.
"Told you. I know everything about you. Been watching you for your whole life. Knew the second I saw you that you were mine. Of course, I had to stop watching you for a bit when things got messy, and I had to go away."
Messy. Sydney. Sydney. "I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry." Bile prowled my throat, stomach twisting in sickness. Vomit threatened at my mouth, and I struggled to keep it down, to stay strong. But I was so close to falling to my knees and weeping. For my sister. For my best friend. For me. We'd begun to circle. Our footsteps crunched beneath us, his forward, mine back. I was trying to figure out the best direction to run, the quickest route to help, when the wicked words strummed from his tongue.
"Didn't mean to kill her."
A stifled gasp jerked into my lungs, the air stifling, suffocating. "Why?" It was a plea. "Why would you hurt her? Hurt my sister?" Why, if he'd always been after me? He shrugged as if it didn't matter.
"Some things you just have to test out."
I choked.
"I had to protect us, Nikki. Everything I've ever done, I've done for you, so we can be together."
My knees wobbled.
"They weren't supposed to find her. And that damn car. Should have burned it."
He said it all as if I should feel sorry for him. As if the world was against him when he was the monster prowling in the midst.
"Now everyone's gonna know. It means we don't have much time."
Chapter 36. Sydney. 16 years old. Tears stung her eyes and her heart physically hurt. She hugged herself around her middle as she trudged along the side of the curving country road. She should have called her mama like Ollie had suggested, but she needed to think, clear her head before she went and said something she would regret. She tightened her arms around her as a hot wind blew through, her skin sticky from the exertion and her face hot from the tears. She was so over this. It was as if all four of them were playing a stupid game and none of them were going to win. She almost rolled her eyes, as if she didn't know about Ollie and Nikki. She'd known for years that there was something extra special about the two of them. That they were more. Their spirits seemed tangled in a way that had been intended before time existed, made for each other. Did they really think she would consider that a bad thing? Did they even know her at all? She just wanted them to embrace it, live free, the same as she wanted for herself and Rex. And the only thing it felt like was they were clipping her wings, cutting little bits of her away as they pushed her further to the outside. There was no reason for them to be hiding, just like there was no reason for her and Rex to be hiding. Rex. At the thought of his name, her chest pulled tight, stretched and yearned. She loved him so much. She didn't think she really knew how much until she'd had to watch him kiss that girl. And she was the one who got to stay. The one who was with him. New tears pricked at her eyes. He hadn't come after her, hadn't stood up for her. Instead, he'd just driven a knife into her heart. No more. She stumbled to a stop. No more.
Maybe Rex didn't know what she wanted, that she wanted him to stand up for her, make a claim, fight for her. She'd just have to do it herself. She touched the red woven bracelet that she always wore around her left wrist, the other two matching pieces belonging to Ollie and Nikki, her best friends. But they had to realize her life was changing, too. All of them had to make room for something new. She came to a stop. Realization struck. She was going to turn around, go back to that camp, and demand Rex say it. Tell Ollie. She was his, and he was hers, and no one would have anything bad to say about it. Because it was good. They were good. Ollie and Nikki were good. She started to cross the road, but froze when headlights cut into the night, and a loud car roared around the corner. She took a step back away from the road as it flew by before the red brake lights flashed, splashing the color all over the night as the old car skidded to a stop. Her heart trembled with a dose of anxiety. She squinted her eyes, relief leaving her on a breath when she realized she recognized that car. Nikki's grandpa. He could give her a ride back to the lake. She jogged that way with a smile on her face, and she saw his silhouette as he leaned over to fling open the passenger door as she approached. She started to duck her head inside to say hello when her knees wobbled beneath her. Not Nikki's grandpa. It was Nikki's uncle, Todd. He grinned, his teeth stained yellow from cigarettes, his hands still greasy from always working on cars. There was something about him Sydney had never liked, the way he looked at Nikki, watched her too close.
Well, look who it is, Sydney Sue. Where's my Nikki Lou?
Unease rippled through her consciousness, a cringe rolling through her at the stupid, creepy nicknames he'd give them, as if it was actually their middle names. She's at home, Sydney lied, not sure why. He frowned.
That's so.
His eyes moved over her, and a cold shiver rippled down her back.
What are you doing out here all alone?
I'm just heading home, she said, angling back.
I'll give you a ride.
She backed away. No, that's okay. My brother should be coming this way in a second anyway. She pinned on a smile and hoped he'd fall for the lie. He wasn't exactly the smartest guy she knew. His eyes flicked from her face and down to her chest.
You look different than her.
He said it as if she should be ashamed of it, as if it were disappointing. Then he shrugged.
Guess for tonight you'll have to do.
Chapter 37. Ollie. Don't do anything until I get there, Ollie. I'm right behind you. No promises, man. Not when it came to Nikki. My girl who'd been desperate to be there through this with me, and I'd been too much of a fool to see it for what it was. Thinking I forever owed a debt, the girl nothing but a tease, a torment of what I couldn't have. When in reality, she'd been a gift, always right there, waiting for me to accept it. I tossed myself to the seat beside me and made a sharp right onto the drive that was close to being hidden under a thicket of trees that ran the land. Engine roaring, I gunned the accelerator. My Mustang bounced on the dirt road, wheels kicking up a cloud of dust as I flew down the narrow lane. The heart I thought I no longer had thrashed at my chest, my teeth clenched just about as tight as my hands were clenched on the steering wheel. I barreled around the corner, and the old house came into view. There were a million memories here. I could get lost in them, stuck like I'd been. But I realized when Sammy had stood there in the hall, I couldn't change the past, no matter how fucking badly I wanted to. I had nothing but this moment and the future. Nothing but Nikki. Swinging into the rounded drive at the front of the house, I rammed the brakes and jumped out, not bothering to shut the door when I thundered up the rickety porch steps that had seen far better days. I pounded on the door and then began to pace, roughing a hand over the top of my head as I waited, as seconds ticked, as I felt myself going insane. I couldn't let this happen. I couldn't let someone hurt her. I promised I'd protect her, that I wasn't ever going to let anyone hurt her. I could hear the car coming up the road, and Seth's cruiser rolled into view right when Nikki's mom swung open the door with a smile on her face, a smile that slid off the second she saw me. Oliver Preston? She looked around, spotting the approaching patrol car. Worry took hold of her expression. What are you doing here? What's going on? Is Nikki okay? Each word came faster than the last, panted pleas winding into her tone when she stepped outside. Anxiety fisted my throat, and I pushed the gritted words through it. I was hoping you could tell me that. You haven't seen her? She shook her head, and there was no missing the glimmers of fear that streaked through her expression when Seth stepped from his car. Her brow pinched with confusion.
No, I haven't seen her for a couple of days. Sammy called a few hours ago wondering if she'd come by, but she didn't say anything else.
Apprehension trembled her voice, and she reached out and grabbed my arm.
Tell me what's going on.
I need to find her.
What's happening?
Where's that piece of shit, Todd? The question knocked her back a step, and her brows twisted into a knot.
I don't know. Heard him leaving late last night. I don't think he's been back.
Fuck, fuck, fuck. I fisted my hands in my hair, searching for the air. Desperation climbing. Does he still stay in the trailer in the back lot? Warily, she nodded. I spun around. Seth caught me by the arm as he came up to the door. Where are you going? I ripped my arm away. To find Nikki. I bounded down the steps and ran for the trailer that sat little more than a quarter mile back from the house. Ollie! Seth shouted from behind me. Wait, man! We need to let the warrant come through! I didn't even stop to ponder it. I pounded the heel of my fist on the door. Nothing. No movement. Holding on to the railing, I leaned back and lifted my leg. Fuck, Ollie, you can't just bust in there! Watch me. There was no way I was sitting idle. Waiting. Not when waiting meant we could be running out of time. I slammed the sole of my boot into the door at the side of the flimsy knob. The old wood splintered and gave. Nothing holding it together. I wrenched open the door, flying inside. The place was a disgusting mess. Dishes piled in the sink, garbage everywhere. Decay and rot. Silence hung in the air. Vacant. Ominous. A stark emptiness echoing back. Still, I couldn't stop myself from pushing deeper into the rat hole, rushing down the short hall and throwing open the door to the only bedroom. The sight bent me in two. Pictures. Everywhere. All of them were of Nikki. Baby pictures. Ones of her as a little girl. A few with Sydney as a teenager. But it was the current ones that sent panic sloshing through my system. There were a bunch of Nikki at the diner. Some outside of Olive's. One of her walking up the steps to her apartment. Motherfucker, her apartment. It was him. It was him. My eyes darted around for anything else, and I started to push out of the room, when my sight snagged on something in the closet. The sliding door had barely been left open a sliver. A floral box. A box. Anxiety gripped me everywhere, and my movements slowed as I edged forward. Slowly, I slid the closet door open farther. The lock had been broken, the lid ripped off, the contents tossed aside as if someone had frantically dug through it to find what was hidden underneath. A groan climbed out from my soul. Agony. Sydney's bracelet. It was there in the middle of it as if the asshole had needed to hold it. Sick and deranged and twisted. Oh, God, I whimpered, unable to stomach it. Sickness clawed, and I was clutching my head, trying to see through the web of darkness that spun through me. Cruelty. Cruelty. My sister. Fuck, my sister. It hurt. It hurt so damned bad. The reality. I'd hunted for so long, and the proof was right there. It was like the idiot wanted everyone to know. Or maybe he just realized once they'd found Sydney, there was no place left to hide. I'd die before I let it happen again. Shit, Seth whispered in shock from behind me, pulling me back. Get out of here, Ollie. Don't touch anything. This is evidence. I blinked at him, seeing nothing but red. He didn't have to ask me twice. I was busting back out the door and running for my Mustang. What do you think you're doing? He shouted. I jumped inside. I'm going to find Nikki. You go to her apartment. He's been there. Call me if you find anything. Where are you going? Up the river? I can't just let you take off like some kind of vigilante. I'm calling it in. Everyone will be looking for them. And you can't expect me to stand aside and wait for that to happen. I'll call you if I see anything. Swear, man, I'll call. But you can't expect me to sit here. Go. Find her. I begged him. He gave me a reluctant nod before he jogged back to his cruiser. I was throwing my car into first when I met Nikki's mom's stare through the windshield. Her hands were pressed against her chin, and tears blanketed her face. I made her a silent promise. I'll fight for her. I'll die for her. Most of all, I'll live for her. 20 minutes later, I'd made it through town. Dusk sat heavily as I wound down the twisty country road. My nerves were speeding while I drove like a motherfucking snail, foot itching to hit the gas. But I was looking for a hint of anything. Anything that felt off. I passed the turn that would lead to the lake and wound around a bend, heading for Roe. There were at least 100 little offshoots of deserted roads, no more than trails carved out between the trees. Anxiety clawed, the sharpest talons in my flesh. Flickers of awareness, realization, and a tease. Little tease. I jammed on the brakes in the middle of the road as a sticky feeling came over me. Drawn. Compelled. Roe would still be crawling with investigators, and Nikki, she wouldn't go there. I knew it. I knew it all the way into my soul. Heart taking off at a sprint, I flipped a U-turn in the middle of the road, tires sliding off into the shrubs and dirt. The tail end whipped behind me when I forced the accelerator to the floor, and I righted the car when it skidded. 2 seconds later, I was cutting across the road to make the left, praying the whole way that she was there, that she was alone, that she was just seeking the solace this place had always given us. Needing that peace when I'd done the exact thing I promised her I wouldn't. I'd hurt her, shunned her, left her. When she was dealing with the same damned thing, I was so finished with being this selfish prick, the guy who thought it was his duty to suffer. Only thing that stupidity accomplished was taking the ones he loved down with him. Again, I was gonna be the beggar, pleading for forgiveness when I didn't deserve it. Couldn't change that. All I could do was fucking fight. Fight for her. This time I would make it right. The lake shone a vibrant pink as the sun sank at the far end of the sky. Off to the left was the public beach. I knew that wouldn't be where Nikki would go. I barreled on to where the road curved at its end, and I took the same worn-out path we'd used for all our lives. It wound up through the trees and back down again. My pulse thudded when I caught sight of the glint of metal in the dusky haze. I edged forward until it fully came into view. Nikki's car. But it was the beater truck sitting next to it that punched the air from my lungs, sent a quiver of stakes through my spirit. An earthquake. Hate and fury and devastation. I wouldn't let this happen. Hands shaking like a bitch, I dialed Seth. He answered on the first ring. You got anything? They're here, at the secluded cove at the far end of the lake. Both of them. I'm parked behind both their cars. Fuck! He shouted. I could hear the siren blip on the other end before it became a full, shrill cry, the sound of his cruiser quickly accelerating. Do not approach them, Ollie. I'll be there in 10 minutes. Send help, I told him before tossing my phone back to the seat without taking the time to end the call. I reached for the glove box and pulled out the handgun I'd taken from the safe before I'd headed for Nikki's grandparents' land. I jerked open the door, blood pumping so hard I could feel it as it slogged through my body. Tasted on my tongue. Rage and desperation. Fear and hope. As silently as I could, I edged up the path, terrified of what I was going to find. If I was too late, I wasn't sure I would survive it this time. My guts clenched in both relief and misery when I heard the whimper. The rumble of a low voice came out behind it, but the words were indistinguishable. The threat of night hugged the earth, the day slipping away and stealing the light. Twilight swam through the trees in a dreamlike haze. Footsteps quieted. I inched all the way up to the spot where we used to jump from the cliffs. I pressed against a tree, trying not to shout out when they came into view. In pain, in vengeance, in the violence that twisted through me like the blackest storm. Ravaging, annihilating, destroying. Nikki was on her knees, arms twisted behind her back as he stood behind her, and shackled her wrists with a thin twine. The sick fuck had her gagged, the same twine running across the rag he'd stuffed in her mouth and tied behind her head to keep it in place. But the hardest part was the terror that blazed in her eyes. I nearly dropped to my knees when I was slammed with the gutting relief that overwhelmed her when she saw me at the line of trees. Tears spilled out, and she released a gurgled cry as she sagged forward. And that energy, it surged. So intense. The greatest thing I'd ever felt. Wave after wave. Blast after blast. This girl was everything. All of me.
None of that, the vile piece of shit seethed,